Welcome to the SDC Daily Podcast. This term we're looking at Matthew's Gospel. If this podcast encourages you, why not pass on the link?
Hello, I'm Becky. I lead the Eden team and I've really enjoyed looking at this passage this week, so thanks for joining me. Today we're on to the first bit of Matthew 21. And that's the story of when Jesus has almost arrived at Jerusalem and he sends a couple of disciples ahead of him to get him a donkey. And then he rides through the gates on that donkey. And that creates a bit of an intriguing scene because on the one hand, there's this old Jewish prophecy that says when their king comes back to save them, he'll be riding on a donkey. And so when Jesus acts this out deliberately, he's making a pretty bold statement about being the king. But on the other hand, if he is a long-awaited king come to save his people, he doesn't really look the part, plodding along on a donkey that's too small for him. But this is the response of the crowds in Matthew 21, verse 8 to 9. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven." You have to be a pretty big deal to get crowds lining the streets for you. But what about people laying their coats on the floor for your donkey? This is the response of people who believe they're seeing not just a celebrity, but their king. They're calling him the Son of David and they're talking about the long-awaited descendant of famous King David from Israel's glory days. And it seems like they've decided that Jesus is it and that he's come as promised at last to save them. But as an onlooker to this scene, I'm kind of surprised by the level of enthusiasm among so many people, not just one or two. Because I know that Jesus is the King of all kings, but in this scene, he does not look like the real thing. Where is his army? And why couldn't he have got himself a proper horse? Jesus, King of the universe, just looks a little bit silly, and the crowd going along with it look nearly as bad. I don't know whether you've ever sensed Jesus calling you to embrace the awkwardness of following him in a world where he does not look like the real thing to everyone. Maybe you've sensed him nudging you sometimes to do or say things that you know are going to look odd to those who don't see him the way you do. Maybe you've been in situations where you are the only one convinced by Jesus. And maybe you sometimes wished he would make his kingship a bit more obviously watertight to the rest of the world, instead of leaving it open to debate like he did that day. That day, instead of demanding recognition as king as he deserved, Jesus held his authority so lightly that the very people who were created by him were able to dismiss him completely. He walked the line so perfectly that people could go either way on it. They could see the picture in front of them. The crowd saw through the outward appearance of things somehow to the ultimate reality and they honoured Jesus as their king. But as we'll see later, the Pharisees didn't and they were scandalised by the things they heard said about Jesus. That wasn't by any means the last time that Jesus would allow his authority to be seen as nothing more than a joke. On a day not long from now, he would be given a crown, but it would be made of thorns and it would cut painfully into his head. He would be given a stick as a sceptre, but the soldiers would snatch it back off him and use it to beat him. He'd be given the title King of the Jews, but he would be nailed naked underneath it. And even to the kind-hearted, he'd look like an object of pity. But to us who believe and love Jesus, we look back at this scene through the lens of the resurrection, and we know that he never lost any of his power or his glory or his strength, but only put them to one side for us. And to us, as he hangs hurting on the cross, he's never been more worthy of our devotion. In the moment of what looks like the end of Jesus' authority, he's our king more than ever, showing us the most incredible courage, love, and selflessness the world has ever seen. So, far from seeing him as an object of pity, when we saw him on the cross, we promised him we'd follow him. We knelt in thankfulness and we gave ourselves to him. Because the cross might well look like foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Chances are most people listening to this have been convinced of this, at least at some point in the past. But the power of our convictions can fade over time. So, how convinced are you today that Jesus is the real thing? When you hang out with the unconvinced, how easy do you find it to side with him? Are you sure enough to follow Jesus yourself on the quiet, but not sure enough to invite others along for the ride? And when life goes downhill and it becomes all too obvious that Jesus' perfect kingdom is not fully here, are you still holding out for the day when it will be? If we're struggling with faith, probably the answer is not to beat ourselves up or sweep our questions under the rug, but to bring our doubts about Jesus back to Jesus and ask him to help our unbelief. Maybe there's a genuine question we need to wrestle with. Let's wrestle with it with him. And if some questions remain unanswered in our heads, maybe it's worth asking God's Spirit to lead us back to the cross and letting his presence convince our hearts. One day, Jesus will return, and everyone will bow, everyone will get it, everyone will admit that he's king. But let's not wait till then to jump on the bandwagon. If we're convinced that Jesus is king, let's stand with him right now while the rest of the world sees only a man on a donkey. Because when we are willing to honour Jesus as king, when that costs us something in the opinions of others, he is glorified in us. And at a time when worshipping through song is restricted, standing steadfastly and unashamedly for him is a beautiful way to worship him. Jesus, we love you and we believe in you. Would you help our unbelief? Help us to wrestle with our questions and speak to our hearts. We honour you as our King in the safety of your presence. Help us to honour you as our King as we go out now into a world that doesn't see you the same way. Amen. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 17. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfil what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and in infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Great. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your great.